So this Thursday, I imagine many of us here will be gathered around some kind of table. And the turkey or something else might come out along with the stuffing and the mashed potatoes and the cranberries and the maybe some beans or vegetables, maybe a salad, or I don't know what else you have on your table. And then after the meal, of course, there's often some kind of pie. And, you know, just thinking about it makes me hungry. I don't know about you, but it's just wonderful. I have wonderful memories of Thanksgiving as a boy and then as an adult. I know not everyone has those experiences, but Thanksgiving has been an important time for me, not only because of the story that brings this holiday into our presence, but also because it is a time when we gather kind of beyond commercialism to be with one another in community and to connect with one another. Thanksgiving. It's the giving of thanks, right? It's not necessarily a time to focus in on giving. It's a time on giving thanks for that which has been given to us. The thanks from all those in the past that has allowed us to be here and to be alive. The thanks for that which was beyond our knowing that comes our way. The thanks for the food or the shelter. All these things for which we can be thankful for. And we give thanks because something has been given to us. It's been given to us. Often, we didn't even ask for it. It's just been given to us. And we say, wow, thank you. Thank you for whatever it is that's been given. It might be a tree. It might be a person. It might be an animal, a dog, it might be a cat, I don't know. But whatever, something has been given to us, and we as human beings, out of gratitude and gratefulness, we say, you know, thank you. Thank you. Now, I know that some of you, and me at times, all of us, sometimes when someone says thank you to us, what do? Oh, no, come on. Now, that's just not that. You know, I didn't really do it. You know, I don't know what happened here, but no, you don't have to say thank you to me. It's just what I do, you know. I don't know how you experience that, but often people, when thank you comes our way, we say, oh. Now, why do we do that? Why do we do that? And it's an important question. Because if someone is saying thank you to you and you're holding up your hands like this, oh no, it means at some level you're not taking in the gift that is given to you. The gift that is given to you is the heartfelt thank you. And you're saying, oh no. Think about it. Why is it that some people have a hard time receiving gratitude? The thank you. I have, in the last week or so, been with one of my friends. We're sitting there across one another at the lunch table, and we're talking, and all of a sudden, we get to a point, and this person says to me, you know, I really have a hard time receiving. I just really have a hard time receiving. So I asked this person, I said, well, where did that come from? And she said, you know, when I was a little girl, my mother had very high expectations of me, almost like perfection. I never could be good enough. So I didn't feel good inside. And so when somebody says something or gives me a gift, I immediately try to block it out because I don't want to feel the gap between the gift I've given and the thank you that comes back. I don't want to feel that sense of lack, that sense of not really being worthy of that gift that comes our way. as thank you. I haven't really thought about this in the depth that I would like to, but there are deep reasons that some of us have a hard time giving, and some of us have a hard time receiving, and some of us have a hard time with both, right? But yet, isn't life at its heart about giving and receiving? Giving thanks, receiving thanks, because if we don't receive the thank you that is coming to us, it's a return to sender time. You take the gift that's been given and you stamp on it, return to sender, and send it back to the person. So I said to my friend, do you feel this way now that you're really not worthy of a thank you? This person's a very giving person. I say thank you to her regularly because she's really a good person. And I said to her, next time that somebody says thank you to you and you begin to put your hands up like this, no, 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 not me. Count to three. Count to three. And then say, you're welcome. It's my pleasure. Or as the young people often say to me, no problem. No problem. I was exploring this, and I think in French, when you say, was it merci?
C'est rien.
C'est rien?
Nothing.
Nothing. It's nothing. Well, I don't know about that one. And I actually find that when young people say, no problem, I say, ooh, does that mean you're receiving it or not receiving what I've just said over thank you? Now, it's a pleasure. I love that response. It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure that you gave me that gift, and now I give it back to you. We sometimes sing the song, from you I receive, to you I give, together we share, by this we live. So simple, but in those couple lines is a whole philosophy of life, and it's a theology as well. From you I receive, to you I give, together we share, by this we live. If we did not receive something, the likelihood of us giving something back is pretty low. Why do people give? It's often because they received. So this Thanksgiving, if someone says to you, thank you for being whatever, thank you for what you did, thank you for what you cooked. If you're hesitant to say you're welcome or it was a pleasure, count to three. Then get in the habit of responding, because it's the gift you're giving back to the person who's giving the thank you to you. Very important from my point of view. I know some of you this week, maybe along with me, watched the PBS series on the American Revolution. Oh boy, I learned some things from that series. I learned that there was much more violence than I had been aware of. I realized that the Native Americans were continually and hugely mistreated in the settlement. I learned about the courage of people who stood up and fought. I realized the arrogance of the British, all kinds of things. And I really took that in. But in the end, even with all the, I think the shame that it comes out of the American Revolution, particularly as it relates to Native Americans, I thought, wow, thank heavens they fought for democracy. And a kind of democracy that had not been known in the world before. Not this way. And I'm so grateful. And it was a hard-won gratitude on their part, but I'm so grateful for those who stood up for what I now believe. They gave me a lot. And I say, thank you so much. So when I think about the American Revolution and democracy, this really connects me to Unitarian Universalism. Because we would not be who we are if we had not been part of the great democratic experiment in this country for the last 250 years. Democracy and Unitarian Universalism go together, and often I'll say, we're not the only religious group in America that believes this, but clearly, we are the democratic faith. We are grounded in democracy. And the reason that so many of us are willing to stand up right now in the face of anti-democratic behaviors is because our faith, not only in our larger country, but our faith as Unitarian Universalists is being challenged to the core. This is who we are as Unitarian Universalists. We are a democratic faith. And I love that statement by Kenneth Patton in one of our readings. We are a workshop in democracy. We teach democracy in our congregations as we work with one another to try to create a more perfect union in our congregations. And then we take that into the world. So much gratitude for those people who fought the revolution. In 2016, I went to the Republican National Convention in Cleveland. Now, you might want to ask, why did I go to the Republican National Convention? It was because they were ready to nominate Donald Trump, and I needed to go and protest the nomination. So I went there and I said, oh my gosh, not only am I protesting, but who are all these people that are supporting him? And there they were for 4 days with me. I learned so much about America that I had not really paid attention to. And I said to myself after 4 days of being there that I was going to come back and I was going to start reading American history. And I was going to start understanding our story at a level that I never understood it before. And I was going to start doing more sociological research. Who makes up this country of ours? Where are they coming from? What are the concerns? What's happening that allows this to come into being? It didn't come out of nowhere. It's not an aberration. But it is a moment in time that is very, very challenging. So after these last 9 years, and even this American Revolution series on PBS, I've kind of said to myself, this country of ours, hard won, not easy at all, hard won. And I have a hard won gratitude feeling inside of me. So grateful. It's often those who are different from us that teach us the most. It's often when we come face to face with the other that is not like us that we find out who we are. In the 1980s, I was working for the Unitarian Universalist Association, and the fastest growing religions in America were all evangelical. I said, what are they doing? I don't get it, you know? But they were growing fast. The mega churches, everything. So I decided, well, I'm going to find out why they do this, how they do it. So I went to Pasadena, California, to one of the leading theological schools for evangelicals in America, the Fuller Theological School. There I was. I think I was the only Unitarian Universalist. That was for sure. There were 500 people at this conference. Well, there I was in a small group with other evangelicals who prayed for me every time we got together. They prayed that I would convert. I mean, they were working hard. They were working so hard to convert me right there on the spot. They told me that they loved me even though I didn't belong. I mean, you know, I don't know what kind of love that is, but I, you know, they were telling me, oh, we just love you. And, you know, I said, well, okay. But what happened was, after a week of being there, I got on the plane and I could not stop writing why I believed in Unitarian Universalism. I could not stop writing. Hard-won gratitude. Hard-won. Put yourself in the middle of people not like you long enough, and often what ends up happening is you find yourself. You don't lose yourself, you find yourself. Tough times teach us to value what's really most important. Think about your own life. When have you really learned the most about yourself? Often it's not in the easy moments, it's often in the tough ones. And after we've come through, which often we do, not always, but often when we come through, who are we grateful for? What are we grateful for? We're often grateful for people who have stood with us. We're often thankful for communities that have been there for us. We've often, maybe it's a pet or nature that we just say, oh my gosh, thank you so much. Thank you. You gave me so much to help me through the hard times. All of us have had hard times. Nobody here has not had a hard time. And we have not come through by ourselves. Others have been there with us. I think of the mothers when I was a boy who welcomed me into their homes because my mom and dad, who were wonderful, couldn't quite provide what I needed. There were the mothers taking me in. I remember Mrs. Hokinson in fourth grade. She just liked me. My third grade teacher couldn't stand me. I said, Mrs. Hokinson, I can't believe you like me so much. So grateful for Mrs. Hokinson that told me that I was a good guy. Or the Quakers and the UU ministers when I was about 20 who helped me become a conscientious objector in the Vietnam War. They gave me so much that changed my life. And then when my first wife, Diane, had breast cancer and then she got Lou Gehrig's disease in my 30s and 40s, who was there to help me? Not only her example of dying was amazing. She taught me how to die, which I'm so grateful to her. But then all the people, family, friends, congregations that helped me through that most difficult time for a long stretch. And then as some of you know, 3 years ago, I got a divorce. Now, I never expected this, but I got a divorce. And here I am in my mid-70s, and I'm going, I don't quite get this, but here we go. So, on the front of the order of service is the painting I bought about a month or two after I knew that my marriage was going to end. There's a kind of darkness, there's a swirlingness to it. That's how I felt, right? That's how I felt. You all know what it's like when things get, they're just rugged inside you. They're really so hard. But luckily, I had great friends, and I had my Unitarian Universalism. I had family, you know. I had a lot of support. So in May of this last year, I went to New Mexico, which would have been 3 years after this had all ended. And I said, you know, I want to get a sunset, either a print or a painting of a sunset that comes from New Mexico. And I didn't know why I really wanted it until I saw this print. What's on the front of the order of service and what's in this painting is two different times. What happened in between? A lot of sadness, healing, connection. This is the way you hope it'll come when the tough times come your way, that you'll be able to see the beauty. Now, obviously, there's still struggle, right? It's there. It's in the painting. But the dominant colors are the colors of joy, of hope. Now, the one interesting thing is that when I was going through this time, I would listen to Andre Bocelli singing about a storm. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of the storm, there's a golden sky, I think, and the sweet sound of a lark. So walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain. But this one, though your dreams may be shattered and broken, walk on. Shattered and broken are powerful words. Walk on. I know this congregation is in the midst of a tough time. But if my life and my working with UU congregation says anything, is that you're going to walk on. The dreams are shattered and broken, right? But you're going to walk on, and you won't walk along alone. You're going to walk together and with others that can be there. Ask for help when you need it, individually and collectively. Do what you need to do in order to find what it is inside of you, and then find each other, and then walk together. I also believe the same thing about our nation. It's going to come through. Now, can I prove it? No. Do I believe it? Yeah. We're going to come through. It's not going to be easy, but we're going to come through. So now I want to just end with this reading from Rumi, the 13th century Sufi poet. This is one of my favorite readings, and some of you might know this reading. It's one that's quite well known by Rumi, called The Guest House. And basically, The Guest House is a poem about being accepting whatever comes your way, because it is a gift. What we think is maybe horrible, often, not all the time, is a gift. So he writes, "This being human is a guest house. Every morning, a new arrival, a joy, a depression, a meanness, some momentary awareness comes as an unexpected visitor. Welcome and entertain them all. Even if they're a crowd of sorrows who violently sweep your house empty of its furniture, still treat each guest honorably. It may be clearing you out for some new delight. The dark thought, the shame, the malice, meet them at the door, laughing, and invite them in. Be grateful for whatever comes." For me, this is life, kind of how it actually is. We were not promised a rose garden, but with courage and trust, we can discover hard-won gratitude. So, happy Thanksgiving.